Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the September 3rd edition of Commodity Week. Corn has rallied to new yearly highs. Can the market sustain the upward momentum? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. Here's the way the market settled the week in Chicago at the CME Group. Nearby September wheat this week at a high of $7.09, a low at $6.50. The September wheat settled at 7.08, 45¾ cents higher than the Friday before. July wheat 7.29 for the settlement price heading into the Labor Day weekend, up 24½ for the soft red. It settled on the month, which ended this week, down 13½ cents. September corn futures are 4.52 high for the week, a low at 16¼. And the settlement for the September corn this week at $4.49¾ on the day and overnight trade, electronic and open outcry, up 28¾ cents from the previous Friday. December futures 4.64½, up 28½ cents on the month, the August month, a 32½ cent gain in the December corn futures. September beans this week at $10.31¼ high, a low at $9.99½. Settlement price at $10.29¾, up 7¾. November beans at $10.39 settlement for the week, up 9 cents. They were up 5 cents in the month of August. Live cattle futures for the day, $99.55 the high, the low at $97.25. A settlement price at $98.45, 35 cents higher. And they sent and finished the month of August up 267½. September feeders, a 114.17½ settlement price, down $2.10 for the month. In August, down a dime. October lean hog futures, a 77.55 top, bottom at 74.35. October lean hogs at 77.20, finished $2.37½ higher for the week. They were down $3.87½ in the month of August.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Our panelists in studio today to take a look at the commodity markets include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, out of Normal, Illinois, Brian Stark of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, and Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois. Let's start with this question. Mike Georgie, can the marketplace sustain a higher market? Well, and we'll only ask you about a week since next Friday, USDA will have its crop production report on the 10th of the month.
Well, I think if the money flow keeps coming in, yes, we can hold this price until next Friday. I think that's the key. It's going to depend what the USDA says. You know, we're thinking the USDA could lower it 2 bushel an acre, so that's not going to be bullish because the trade's trading about a 158 to 160 bushel per acre, and they're definitely in charge until they see some overly bearish news.
Kirk Gimmel?
Yeah, it's the outside market game right now. I mean, Jimmy Crimey, after the first 2 hours of trade, the funds bought over 30,000 contracts, so we've priced a lot of bullish news in the marketplace. We're overbought on the momentum indicators. So the old saying is, you've got a bull market, you got to feed it every day. But the anxiety is a report Friday, and I imagine we'll maybe consolidate ahead of that report now.
And Brian Stark.
I would agree with Mike and Kurt. I think the market obviously is priced in a lower yield than what the USDA is currently listed at, and most people probably believe that they will be slow to adjust if we do have such a shrinking crop.
And we heard at 158 to 160 of the market trading. You think it's that low?
I think it's about 161 right now.
I think it's 160.
So in that time frame, and then on Friday, let's go back to that because the market, if it's trading that low of a number for the yield, must have been doing something else. Was it all about Russia?
Well, it was a combination of things: lower yield here in the U.S., Russia, possible freeze in Canada, possible freeze in China. One forecaster was rumored to say it's going to rain every day until Christmas and not be able to get the crop out. I mean, it's one thing after another. So the news wires were hot there Friday.
I'm surprised that the trade may be trading that low. The Informa numbers were sharply higher than that, although it seems that they may have hedged their bets just a bit and said, well, this is what we think USDA is coming out, not what we really think. And they were, what, at 164.8, I think, for the national yield at a 13.349 billion bushel crop.
I was going to say, I think that the number that shocked the trade was their guesstimate for the January final number at 158.9. And I think that got the trade a little bit excited today, thinking the crop may be that small.
Mm-hmm. If it's 158, you know, we're talking $6-7 corn. Basically, when you take your harvested acres and put that yield on it, keep demand the same. So the function of the market will be to move higher if it is that low.
Kurt Kimmel told us earlier that we needed to feed the bull every day of the week if it was going to stay higher. You seem to think it maybe can try to manage that. What happens to happen next week to keep the marketplace on the upside?
Well, I think, you know, the yields that they hear are still way below last year averages. Everybody's talking lower yields, and the heat, the rain, the dry, everything caused this crop to go down, and there are people out there rumoring. I mean, if we get down to even a 161, we're going to have ending stocks below a billion. So that's going to get them excited, and that's going to keep feeding them until they hear some higher yields.
Okay, so let's say we're at 160, 162 at some point, and maybe not next Friday, but we're there at some point. How high can the marketplace go?
Well, we're looking, if we do get down to a 160 price, you know, we're looking at 520 to be a high. If we do get down even to a 158, we're looking at a 560 high, and momentum could drive it higher than that.
Well, I think basically $5, then you can just each bushel below that, you can add another 50 cents to it.
I would agree with what Mike and Kurt said. I think what surprised me a little bit, and maybe the trade is focusing so much on this crop right now, but the DS-11 contract lagged badly today. And I think as you look forward in a futures market, we're going to need to buy acres next year. So that kind of caught me by surprise a little bit today.
So you think it has more in it?
I think the DS-11 contract is your leader at some point. May not be till December or January, but with what wheat's done since Russia, as crisis has come about over the last month to 2 months, it's going to be very tough to plant 90 to 92 million acres of corn next year.
You believe there will be an acreage war like we've seen in the past then, too, based on what he said and what you've seen in the marketplace?
I think it'd be a little bit more aggressive. I think we've already bought 4 million acres of wheat. Then we'll discuss the rest as we get in this winter, because the function of the market is to buy acres.
What is a farmer to do at this point? And let's say that they're, I don't know, a 370, a 380 seemed like it was an all right sale, and they've got half of a crop or 40% of a crop sold down there at this point. What do you want them to do with the rest of it for corn?
Well, I think as a producer, you got to decide whether you're a trader or a risk manager. From a risk manager point of view, I think you need to continue to scale up and sell into it. If you're uncomfortable, what we've done, we've come in and bought some option coverage. So if the market continues higher, it gives you the comfort to be short the market and help make margins your calls.
Okay, so we're going to make sales because we're hedgers. We're not traders today. Right?
Correct.
So we're going to go ahead and make sales. You're still making sales?
I think that's right. You got to make sales. You know, one thing that Daryl Good had mentioned about the basis, I think come next year, if you've got storage, you can store the corn, but you got to protect its price with options or something. So if it does go down, you've got protection and you can hold the crop until March, where the basis may improve a lot and pick up and pay for your storage.
On the ground, are they actually doing that?
I would think right
making
now, no.
The sales, that
no,
is.
They're not making the sales at the elevator. I think right now they're very bullish with the continuing shrinking numbers. But I would agree with what Mike said. Being in the cash grain market, I can tell you that the basis depreciation because of a fast oncoming crop, regardless of the size, you're going to see a big, huge snapback in the basis once we get to harvest. And that may be middle of October at the rate we're going now.
So it'll come back fast and...
Yeah, I think it's going to appreciate in value, especially if the crop gets as small as we think it may be.
Well, we're talking about small, but too, man, I'm talking to some guys, 200, 205, some other areas, 190 to 230. So we're just getting started with harvest, so we got to be kind of cautious talking too small of a yield.
And that same portion where you heard Daryl talking just a bit, that may have come from his podcast off the Farm Doc website or from the radio station and the closing mark report on Friday afternoon. But he did mention that he wants to be cautious yet because there's an awful lot that can happen, and we really don't have a very good handle on what's out in the field.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think as we go farther in the harvest moves farther north, you're going to hear some tremendous yields. They're talking, you talk to farmers in Minnesota, they're thinking they're going to have the best crop ever. But on the other side of that, the farmer's saying, okay, so what if Minnesota, Nebraska has a great crop? You know, they lowered the yields in Illinois. These states can't produce enough to, make up for them losses. Well, the thing is, the traders, the funds are in it, and when they decide to get out, they're leaving. They don't care what the crop is.
Commodity funds, index and trading funds are probably going to be estimated to be long over 800,000 contracts of corn. And like Mike said, if they want out, they'll get out. Or CFT might come in and say, you know, enough's enough.
Let me see if I can characterize, and I think you're all three in the same place. You're friendly to bullish the corn market, right? but you're all making sales. Is that right?
It could go up, and yet it could go down.
Well, I was going to say, I'll just add that what Mike and Kurt said, the funds are the wild card, and they can bail at any time and really put some downward pressure on the market, regardless of what we believe the crop could be. So that's something to play on the downside. In your risk management.
We haven't touched on the soybeans yet. honestly, I don't know where to start with the bean market. And there's just a lot of pods, but nobody seems to know what's up with the beans at this point. What do you think?
Well, for the most part, guys are optimistic bean production, so they feel they have a shot of having a good bean crop. I think guys have been more willing sellers of beans versus corn. Bean price, you look at $10.50, that's the highest we've been at the upper end for the last 2 years. So it's going to be probably tough to go much above $10.50 unless corn keeps chugging along.
They like $10 beans, don't they?
Yeah, they do like $10 beans. And I think, like Kurt said, beans are a follower of the corn market and the wheat market in general. And at this point, you like to believe that there's a lot of pods out there. But I will say we've only had, for the month of August, 2.5 inches of rain on a normal 4. So there's some concern there.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, you know, we're looking at over 300 million carryover in beans. World, we've got a huge supply of beans. You know, everybody's waiting for $10 cash beans to make the sale. And I think if you're $9.50, $9.70, you need to make the cash sales because I don't see the beans going up a whole lot higher unless they're going to, you know, unless corn's going to $6 and beans are going to follow. But, beans have to be cash sold or protected as well because they're very volatile and you could be under $10 on the board very quickly.
We touched on the wheat, but let's take it up a little more seriously this week. Russia said, we think it'll be late in 2011 when we finally start the export market. It'll kick off an acreage war, but will it really hike prices up any more than they've already gone?
Well, it's supportive because you've seen, like, for example, Egypt come into the market. They bought U.S. corn. They bought U.S. wheat. These world traders are taking this seriously, and so it's sort of a scramble. Where can I get my coverage if I can't get it out of the Black Sea?
Have you had producers talk to you about wheat, and can they get wheat seed to put in the ground?
Well, they've talked about wheat, but that's the key component. Well, that's as far as they've gotten just because wheat seed is tough to come by. I've talked to two different seed companies. One planned for 50% increase before the rally started. One was flat, and they're both out of seed already. So I think that's the toughest part. If they're going to do it, finding the seed is going to be the toughest part.
Now, I did read something from the Deep South that Louisiana Louisiana producers were having a tough time finding wheat seed, and they were wanting to plant wheat down there too. So we may not have enough seed to put out. I talked to Fred Kolb, who handles the wheat here on campus. He's not sure that there's that much wheat seed around. So it might be an interesting sort of fall trying to find out whether those acres actually go to wheat at this point.
We've got a billion bushels in some bin somewhere we can use.
Is it in Maumee?
Yeah. Good point.
You know, and the other thing they're saying about wheat is, which may, you know, here again has nothing to do with how much wheat we're going to plant, is they're saying the funds are the shortest in wheat of all the commodities. So if they come back in, we could get back to 860 pretty quick just for fun buying.
All right, take a quick look at the livestock for me and where it is at this point and whether producers are making enough money to make a go at it.
Well, until this grain run up here, they were doing quite well. We looked at record cutout values in the hog side of the equation and even, you know, some real aggressive beef bids out there. The main key is we come back from the Labor Day holiday and see how weekend clearance goes, and also, too, to see if we continue this export pace we've got set.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The first significant widespread rain in several weeks occurred this week in Illinois thanks to a cold front that will bring cool weather for the holiday weekend. Showers and thunderstorms brought some significant rain amounts to northwestern third of Illinois on Tuesday. On Wednesday night, the first significant rain came to a wide band generally along and east of I-55. This is the part of the state that has been particularly dry for the last month or so. In some locations, the rain on Wednesday night and Thursday morning equaled totals received during the entire month of August. The heaviest rain fell from Sangamon County east to Champaign County, where from 1 to more than 1.5 inches was reported. The highest total was reported by a Kokoroz observer in Piatt County with 3.31 inches of rain. Temperatures this week were running 5 to 9 degrees above normal through Thursday. A strong cold front moving through Illinois Thursday night brought in refreshingly cool and dry air, and the week finishes out with temperatures running several degrees below normal. There will be a quick warm-up to the start of the first full week of September. Another cold front will begin to press south through Illinois on Tuesday and will bring a good chance for showers and thunderstorms. That front will likely stall and then lift back north as a warm front. That will likely keep rain chances alive for the northern half of Illinois through the end of the week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the third day of September 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio include Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Brian Stark of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. And Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois. Our guest on the phone line is Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Thanks for being with us today, Jim.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, let's start with the larger economy. Do you think it's on the recovery enough to make sure that the agricultural markets can be sustained?
Well, I think the agriculture sector by itself and my travel seems to be in pretty good shape. I go out west quite a bit in Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, and I see relatively strong prices, good yields. The ag sector has had a pretty good year overall, and I see people making money. On the other side of that coin, as we know, though, we've still got a tremendous amount of unemployment, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of buildings empty, and just a lot of structural problems from a job standpoint, and I think that's the big drag, and that's probably the one solid negative that I do see overall. We certainly need a lot of improvement there.
With the corn market getting overbought, you know, that's a question we were talking about. Do you think it's going to sustain, or do you see a upside over $5 in this corn?
I think the trade has got to spend a little bit more time stepping back from this and looking at it a little bit more closely. I know I've instructed my staff to really sit down, really monitor where we are as far as the supply-demand table, and we're going to slice and dice that thing as close as we can, almost on a daily basis, to figure out just exactly where we're at on a carryout into 2011, because I really think that's the price determinant. And as I've told our producers consistently and on television and radio, if there's one thing they need to have tacked on the tool shed door is that supply-demand table, because that was the tool that told us several months ago that this corn market could go much higher if the yields did not materialize, and that's coming to fruition now.
Well, Jim, where do you think we're at going home Friday on the supply-demand balance table then?
Right now, I used 992 when the corn yield was determined to be 165. So I'm more bullish at the present time because I feel the demand factors from a global standpoint are probably even stronger than most people think. I think the situation in Russia was the incident that upset the apple cart, and it really has changed a lot of structural feed relationships. We know that China really is not going to be exporting corn. Brazil has pretty much run out. We have some availability here, but certainly if you look at the export numbers, they're really picking up pretty quickly. And I think a lot of these end users have been completely caught off guard, thinking that we were going to get a lot of harvest pressure, and these yields are going to be much closer to that 165 than the government has earlier projected. But now that's certainly up for debate. So I'm still going to go with a little bit of a theory that let's not say $6, $7. Let's look at it pretty much on a daily basis. Let's see if these yields continue to be less than expected by the producer, and try to basically compartmentalize the situation more of a kind of an in-scope, microscope-type situation, and then kind of go with more on a daily basis rather than try to make a statement which way we're going to go, you know, a month from now.
Jim, do you believe we're developing a similar story to what we saw back with ethanol in 07 and 08? I mean, is investors, in your opinion, the funds looking at the ag sector as a potential investment, a bigger story longer term?
Well, I don't know too many people making a lot of money in the stock market right now. In fact, here in the United States, I have to think really hard if I know anybody that is. So, you know, I think in our industry, we're seeing kind of a wake-up call that the world needs protein. I think there's a constant Asian demand. I just really don't think that the United States is the locomotive anymore. I think this has been discussed in the media a lot, but certainly when you travel around the world and you talk to people coming from all corners of the world, certainly those emerging markets led by China, Indonesia, Asia, even the tiger countries, the growth rate there is just incredible. For example, I think in the month of August, the car sales in China were up 55.7% from a year ago levels. I mean, the demand for steel, cement, lumber, minerals, precious metals, food, proteins, meat, I mean, the demand in these emerging markets is tremendous, and that's why I'm trying to keep my clientele pretty much as focused on the demand factors as much, if not more, than the supply factors, because as we know, demand pull markets tend to last much longer and are more consistent than supply-oriented markets. And right now, I think we've got a demand-oriented market globally that's been impacted by what has come to be kind of a supply shock stemming from these less-than-anticipated yields, at least on corn and wheat, obviously from what happened in Russia. The other item, as far as a lead item that I would like to kind of mention, and I noticed that we haven't talked too much about the soybean market, but, you know, we started out with this big up move in wheat, then it transferred to corn. My suspicion as a trader, not as an analyst, but as a pure trader, is that the market's going to take its directional flow more likely from the soybean market and what yields come off those combines as we get into that harvest as the lead item, as much as, if not more, than corn, because I think everybody's feeling comfortable with the soybean yield right now, But I've learned over all these years of trading, I'm not too comfortable until I see the actual yield come off the combine.
With demand and supply, I mean, you know, you're looking at under 10% stocks usage on corn. You're looking at 10% or more on the beans. Shouldn't the beans actually come down if we're looking at over 300 million carryover in the U.S.? We're looking at world supply the highest it's been. Wouldn't beans be something you'd want to think was going to go down?
Well, I think if you assume that 44 BPA, which is what the government's currently using, is correct, but I listened to your weather details on your program, and I'm over here in Indiana. I had 0.3 inches of rain in the last 36 days here in Zionsville, Indiana, where my home is. So there are areas which have not received beneficial rains here during the month of August. And, of course, I've always had that lesson taught to me that if beans stand in water for very long periods of time, like they did in Iowa and parts of Illinois and Minnesota, when it comes right down to that final yield, you might be a little bit surprised. So I've certainly instructed every single client to call into our office, to call me personally. I don't want to estimate what this soybean yield is. I want to see the yield come directly off the digital readout or at the end of the field. I want to know what the exact yield is before I'm going to say we're going to have a 44 BPA. Personally, I'm around 42.4 right now because I think the bean yield may be on these intermediate beans especially and the intermediate to late beans may not be near as good as these early beans that were planted in April.
Can I take you back to the corn market and the demand side that you were starting to characterize a little bit? You must be using about 300 extra bushel. Is that all in the export market? And if so, to where? And if not, where else might the demand be coming from?
Well, I think there's a very good possibility that China will import 5 million metric tons or more of corn into China in 2011. Again, this whole situation in corn right now, obviously, and someone mentioned, is the higher we go, obviously the rationing process is going to start to take place. But I don't think with the value of the dollar sitting down there in the low 80s, almost 20% below par, I don't know that we're right to a level yet where you're going to discourage too much, if any, consumption or buying of corn in the world market. This demand base, and Americans have got to wake up and realize that the demand base and the procurement of commodities is not here in the United States. It's in that tremendous emerging growth market led by China at what, close to 10% GDP. India is not too far behind that. And when you look at that demand base, again, I just don't see much reduction in the demand at this level of price. Will $6 cut the demand? Oh, I'm sure it will. But and do we know that the yields in Iowa and Minnesota are going to be good or bad? We don't know that yet. So that's why I said at the beginning of my statement, let's compartmentalize this just a little bit. Let's not get too bullish or get too bearish. Let's monitor how it's coming off the combine and then make a determination almost on a daily basis. But certainly I would tack that S&D table up on the tool shed door and the basis charts up on the door, as Daryl Good says, because to me those are the two most valuable items that a producer really needs to know on a daily basis to make the right decisions.
Jim, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Jim Bauer is with Bauer Trading in Lafayette, Indiana. Time now for a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Mike Georgie of Allendale.
Yeah, you know, we got to watch the price, but I think we have to be merchandisers of our grain and make sales. But if you want to re-own, use options, and I think it'll lessen your risk and benefit you the most.
Kirk Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
It's a dynamic market, and there's all kinds of creative strategies out there to get you in the game.
And Brian Stark of the Andersons.
I'd just like to reiterate what Mike and Kurt said, and also to please be safe and have a good harvest.
Thank you much to the folks here in studio and to Jim Bauer for joining us on Commodity Week. You can always hear it again if you'd like. Off our website, the address is willag.org. That's willag.org. As Brian said, you have a good week and you make it safe. I'm Todd Gleason.